This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
Good morning, DCR.
Got the number one pick and a Super Bowl champ with a man they can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lawrence Taylor!
Cut him every trash, DMT for short. Wonder if we best, why don't you peep the score? Sports Center Reed, gonna be top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise and shine with 98.7. This is Drive Time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Dave, Chris, and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
And good morning to you and yours. The calm before the storm, literally. It is DCR with you on February the 18th, 2021. But some news for you to know. No Chris Canty today. Chris has taken the day because he's going to be on Get Up, and he's preparing for that. So, Rick, you better have energy today. You better not let me down. You better bring it in a big way today.
5:30 bedtime last night, Dave. 5:30.
You didn't go to bed at 5:30.
No, I was close, though. I was thinking about it. 5:30, I was thinking about it. Just as we finished up dessert, I was like, you know what? Maybe I should just shut it down right now.
Shut it down right now, huh?
Shut it down.
Did you give the Knicks game any time live last night?
Yeah, I watched the first half live. I could not sleep. You remember the commercial during the Super Bowl where they're around the campfire and they're eating, it looks like, you know, chili with hot peppers in it?
Yes.
And then all of a sudden, like, the lady grabs her stomach and the hot pepper comes and drags her away because her heartburn is that bad?
Yes.
That's where we're at right now. That's where we currently stand. At some point during the show, a pepper may show up in my studio and drag me out.
Drag you out? Then I'd be solo. Nobody wants that.
You love solo. Stop it.
Oh, I mean, listen, I appreciate it, but I don't think anybody else is looking for me solo when we have the option of me and you today here.
No, this is going to be good, Dave. We got to hold down the fort. Now, Canty's going to, you know, give us some extra exposure on Get Up.
Well, that's going to be big.
It's huge.
That's big. So that, of course, is later this morning, but there's a lot to do. I mean, the Tatis story is very interesting, and they paid him through the nose, although the deal is probably a good deal for both. We'll get into that. The Mets and the projections there, right? We did a lot of Yankees yesterday. We'll do a lot of Mets today. I still believe, even as camp starts right now, that they have another move or two left in them, and Buster only going to join us at 7:30 this morning. Lot of NBA to get into as well. Lot of things for us to do. Let's start with, and by the way, and I'm not going to get into it now, but I will just tease it ahead. RJ Santillo told me something yesterday, which I didn't agree with. I went back and did my due diligence, and I agree with even less now than I did then. So I'll tell you that a little bit later on during the course of the show. And it's movie related, too. It's not like one of these ridiculous, nerdy sports things. It's a legitimate movie conversation, which we'll get into a little bit later as well. But the Knicks last night, you did a good job going to bed at halftime, because the second half was an unmitigated disaster for the Knicks. They looked terrible last night.
No, I got a taste of that this morning. I watched the second half this morning. Yeah, it was bad. I mean, offensively, they weren't good at all. I mean, I think it was, what, 7.5 minutes they went without making a shot? It was 15 straight. I mean, I don't care how good your defense is. I mean, that third quarter, I mean, you score 14 points in the third quarter. I mean, you could tell. I mean, the fact that they weren't making shots, you know, how it affected them, you could just see, I mean, the fight being dragged out of them. I wouldn't be surprised if the front rim in Orlando is warped or bent with how many shots we missed short last night.
They were terrible. And they came out good last night, too. I mean, Randall was, again,
awesome.
Lights out, right? He was sensational in the first quarter. And they had a double-digit lead. You're like, oh, my God, they're going to do it again. And then it just, I mean, last night was the first time that I've seen, Rick, that they just, the bench guys who we've come to really rely on were dreadful. I mean, Quickly and Rose were a combined, what, 2 for 22? That's horrendous.
Yeah, 2 for 22. I mean, Quickly's only made bucket was a dunk. I mean, that was it. That's all he did. I was actually surprised they stayed with him as long as they stayed with him, because Payton wasn't bad last night. I mean, Barrett, Payton, and Randall were really, I mean, offensively, the best three guys you had last night. And, I mean, they kept, R.J. Barrett eventually got back, you know, late in that game. But, I mean, the advantage for the Knicks has been, you know, all of a sudden you bring in that bench with Quickly and Derrick Rose in the backcourt, and they've been great together. And, I mean, that's been a huge factor in these wins. And unfortunately last night, I mean, they offensively were
terrible.
Really bad. Yeah.
I mean, listen, in the grand scheme of things, it's okay, right? I mean, you're not pleased. It's a game that you looked at and you said, we have a really good chance to win this game. I mean, Orlando's a team that you think you're better than. Cole Anthony not even playing in that one. But, I mean, it's not like the Knicks are great. You're going to have moments where you just, you know, you lay an egg. And that was last night. Now, what you hope doesn't happen is this kind of spirals and rolls downhill. And now, I guess the game against the Spurs is not going to happen, right, on Saturday.
Nope.
So the next game is now Sunday. So you have days off against the team. Then on Sunday now, you expect that you should have a good chance to win that game against Minnesota.
Yeah, but that's why that game yesterday was so important. I mean, just as a player, like, I mean, looking at that game, you get a chance to get to 500. It's a team you should beat. I mean, you're the best defensive team in the NBA going up against the worst shooting team in the NBA, right? And now all of a sudden, because that Spurs game gets postponed, you don't play till Sunday.
Right.
So now you have 3 days off. You can actually practice. I mean, as a player, now you lose this game, you got that flight home, and I have to now deal with this for the next 3 days before we get a chance to redeem ourselves on Sunday. It sucks.
It does. I mean, listen, I'm not making excuses, but it's not like the Knicks are a great team. I mean, the Knicks are a good team, and yes, you're right. I mean, that was a game last night they had circled. You said, we can win this game. And in fact, maybe it was a we should win this game. And you felt like that after the first quarter, and then the wheels kind of fell off. And I didn't even think, I know offensively they were not good, but Orlando had so many wide open looks last night. I didn't think the Knicks were very good defensively.
No, I think defensively, I mean, that's not what you're used to seeing, but when you shoot as poorly as they shot, especially in the second half, I mean, they were 12 of 48, and they had open looks. They just couldn't make shots. I mean, they're missing a lot of shots short. I don't care how hard, you know, you think you can play. Like, when offensively you struggle the way they struggle, it's tough to play great defense. It is.
Yeah, that was a big-time struggle. So let's hear from Julius Randle. Julius, was it just one of those nights last night?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it was a great opportunity for us. And, you know, we just didn't have it for whatever reason it might be. So, you know, you just kind of chalk it up and look at the film, see how we can correct it. And, you know, we got a good one on Sunday? Sunday we play a good one on Sunday to get. So just got to move on.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, I think that's the right attitude. You laid an egg. You didn't play well. Nobody's going to defend them. I mean, they didn't play well. They were awful last night. Against Orlando, a team that's not very good, to look like that. I mean, really, in essence, when you look at it, they kind of got blown out in that second half of that game last night.
What do you mean kind of? They scored 33 points in the second half. It was brutal.
Yeah.
And Vucevic offensively wasn't great.
No. And he's the guy that always kills you.
Always kills you. I mean, rebound, like, you miss Mitchell Robinson, clearly. I mean, especially, I mean, the Magic, 11 offensive rebounds. I mean, too many turnovers from the Knicks. And the best line of the night, though, was Clyde going, when Bacon hit a three, sizzling Bacon.
Yeah.
He's the best. Clyde is the best, though, man. I love listening to Clyde. He cracks me up every single game. Even if it's a bad game.
He's awesome.
He's the best.
Yeah.
So good.
So good. He's amazing. And you know, I don't think you're going to get, and this is the reason that I don't panic about it. How many nights are you going to get where Rose and Quickley as a duo are that bad? I mean, really, when you look at it, that's the advantage the Knicks have against all these teams, right? Is when you look at the second unit that they're able to put out there offensively, they're as good as anybody because they have a backcourt that can score. I mean, Rose and Quickley as a combination can really score. And last night, I mean, there's no two ways about it. They were absolutely dreadful in that game.
Yeah, they were awful. I mean, again, I mean, Quickley's been, I mean, offensively, I mean, he's one of the guys you're relying off coming off that bench. He makes one shot, it's a dunk, that's it. I mean, you got Derrick Rose airballing threes. I mean, it was just they were off. And the problem with that second unit is they're not as good defensively as the starters.
Right, so they have to be able to score.
They have to be able to score. So they pass over. I mean, the Knicks starters hand off an 11-point lead, and the bench proceeds to lose, you know, now all of a sudden loses the lead. And then, I mean, you still have the lead going into halftime, and then that third quarter happens.
Yeah,
and then
disaster. It's disaster. Absolute disaster. Here is IQ on his, you know, let's be fair, on his probably his worst game as a pro, on his bad night last night.
You know, I try not to just base my game off shooting. You know, you work hard and do whatever you can do. But at the end of the day, you know, you just try to do what you can do to help your team win. I don't feel like individually I didn't do that. Together, we could have, as a team, we could have been better. Orlando's a great team. You got to give them credit. You know, they're a team that's, you know, just like us, you know, scratching and fighting to, you know, try to make the playoffs. So, you know, individually, you just look in the mirror and, you know, move on to the next game and just try to be better next game.
So I love Quickley, and I think he's terrific. Is this just the pat line now that when you play someone, you have to say they're a great team? I mean, don't you lose a little credibility when you come out and say Orlando's a great team?
Yeah, I don't love that.
I mean, I think what are you talking about?
Yeah, I mean, they lost 16. I mean, what are they lost 16 in the last 20?
What are they, like, 10-18? I mean, listen, you want to say they outplayed you? Fine. You want to say the players that don't typically play well played really well? Fine. You want to say they played a really good game last night? Fine. To sit here and tell me that Orlando's a great team, everything else you say in that soundbite, at least to me, Rick, loses a little credibility.
Yeah, I mean, that's when I all of a sudden zone out. Like, I can't take what you're saying seriously. Because that mindset has to change. Like, if you're the New York Knicks, where you're at now, you can't look at the Orlando Magic, especially the way they're playing, and think they're on the same level. You can't. This is a team that you should have beat last night.
It is. And that's a game that you put your head on the pillow and you got to be disappointed that you lost. And now, again, I don't think it's the biggest deal in the world. I mean, you could have gotten back to 500. I understand why you'd be upset. But you're the Knicks. You're not great. You're a team that's up and coming. But I think you have to be disappointed that you lost it. And to have this mindset of that's a great team on the other side, I mean, that makes no sense. That's not a great team. That's the opposite of a great team in Orlando.
No, I mean, they're not a great team by any stretch of the imagination. And I mean, the fact that their best player didn't kill you offensively, it was more, I mean, you know, Ross had a big game. Fournier made some big shots. But I mean, that's, as a player, now all of a sudden you have, and Thibs is your coach, and you could tell last night, I mean, in the second half,
he was pissed.
So now all of a sudden, I got 3 days of practice that we're going to have to deal with this, which I'm sure Thibs looks at as a positive, like just now he can all of a sudden reinforce his message. But, I mean, as a player, you're flying home going to yourself, I mean, this is a huge missed opportunity.
Tremendous.
500, now, and now all of a sudden we don't play till Sunday? I mean, that would have been great. And
yeah, no, it would have been. You would have been 500. You would have looked at it and said, we have a chance to get above 500. Because you love your chances against Minnesota. You would have won last night, but it gets away. And it is frustrating. Now, I don't know if you saw this on the post game last night. I mean, I think it's legitimate, and I know that he does deeply care. But I was watching this and thinking to myself, boy, what an amateur here. And that is Alan Hahn with the remote control. Did you see that?
I did see that, yeah.
So I guess Alan became so frustrated last night, he broke his remote control, and he made a big deal about it on the post game show. I can't, like, I could write a PhD class in remote control breaking. There was a time that I used to walk into the remote control store on 23rd Street in New York City, and I was like Norman Cheers, Rick. They'd be like, "Hey, Dave, how you doing?" I'd be like, "Good. Listen, I need the T28. Let me just get that." So they actually used to charge me for one, but give me four. Back in the day,
you were the guy. I mean, that's your loyal customer.
I mean, I'm not kidding. I would walk in, they'd be like, "Hey, Dave, how you doing?" I'm like, "Good." Yeah, it was on 23rd. It was a Time Warner store on 23rd Street, I think between 2nd and 3rd. And I used to go all the time. I broke so many remotes. I actually had the police come up one night. The police knocked on my door, and they said, "A remote control just hit the ground. Did you throw it out the window?" Now, what floor do you think we lived on?
High floor. You're bougie like that. High floor.
26.
26th floor, yeah.
So I got so angry.
Why would you throw the remote out the window?
I got so angry one day, I just opened up the window and threw the remote out. And they brought up this remote control. So this is how obvious it was. They walked into the building. They said, "A remote just came flying out the window. Do you have any idea who it might have come from?" And the doorman's like, "26B, go check that out."
Yeah, that's Dave Rothenberg.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that must have been 26B.
Took the treadmill and I smashed it into the window.
The police knock on the door. I open it. I'm like, "Oh, my God." And the officer, you know, this is New York City. There's crime to be fighting. He's knocking on my door and he's saying, "Excuse me, did you throw this out the window?" And I didn't lie. I was honest. I was like, I did. I had a moment and I did. He's like, "Why would you do that?" And I was like, I don't remember the game. I was like, "Yeah, the Giants just gave up a 3rd and 13 and I lost it."
Tell me that's not a Seinfeld episode. That would 100% be a Seinfeld episode.
Nothing I can do.
Yeah,
that actually hit somebody as like a pedestrian as they're walking by.
No, but Rick, they would have died.
You're no better. Listen, and you're the one that criticizes the poor lady that's trying to feed the pigeons that throws bread out her window. You're no better than she is.
Well, listen, I don't think those are comparable. This is a woman that it's different. She's not going to kill anybody, but what she does is really bizarre.
What do you mean, kill somebody? I have breadcrumbs falling on my head as I'm walking into the studio. I got a flock of pigeons.
Yeah, no, it's not good.
My face.
It's not good. You're lucky I'm here with you today. I mean, if that remote control or any of the ones that eventually made their way onto the 26th Street, if they would have hit someone, I'd be imprisoned right now.
30 for 30.
Right.
How the once promising career of Dave Rothenberg went sideways.
He used to use the previous button like a master.
I don't understand that mindset. Why break your own stuff? I don't get it.
Because I would get so upset.
Yeah, but why? But now, like, once that wears off, now all of a sudden you got to go to the store. You got to get a new remote. Or these people that break, like, will just walk up into their, like, beautiful TVs and just smash their TVs.
That goes a little bit far. I agree with you. But you never had the moment where you would let in a bad goal and break your stick?
Yeah, I would break my stick, but it's not, I mean, well, I shouldn't say that. This is me. Yeah, you're right. I'm a hypocrite because that was the most trouble. Well, there's been many times. I mean, my dad.
See, as you reflect, now you realize you're just like me. You're just on the ice.
Well, no, that was like between when we did the fireworks and my dad ended up, you know, shooting himself in the face with a Roman candle. He was pretty mad at that. But when I played in high school in Boston, I asked for Christmas. I said, can I please, 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 please have these custom made sticks? Because my favorite goalie had the same kind of sticks and they were expensive. And, I mean, no one at that time hadn't. I mean, you're not getting custom-made sticks to your name on them. So my dad, I mean, because I begged him, he got me custom-made. They were beautiful, too. Black and red, name on them. Gorgeous sticks. And, of course, I proceeded, like, three straight practices to let a couple bad goals. So I was just breaking the sticks like it was no big deal.
Yeah.
Dude, he was so mad.
I'm sure he was.
So mad.
See? That's my remote control. So I laughed last night when I saw Alan, like, a little piece chipped out of his remote. And he's like, this is how angry I was. And I was just like, come on. Stop.
I'm not Don LaGreca.
Look at this garbage!
Stop. A little piece of the remote control.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
And RJ's telling me at the break, he goes, do you know what happens if I'm walking down the street and a remote control lands from 26 floors up and crashes in front of me? He's like, I'm under the car. My fiance probably doesn't want to leave the house anymore.
Yeah, I mean, here's why it's a little bit fraudulent what you did.
You need Jesus.
That goes without saying. We both need Jesus. But the fact that you actually had the presence of mind to open the window before you threw the remote out of the window. Now, all of a sudden, you can't talk your way out of it. Now, there's intent now.
You think it's like premeditated?
This is premeditated,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't think you're completely off. Yeah. No, listen, it wasn't my finest moment. I have a lot of those, and I'm willing to share. Richie in Brooklyn. Richie, you're first up. Good morning on 98.7 ESPN.
Morning, guys. Richie's how you doing?
Windstorm. Good morning, Richie.
Sorry about that. Let me see if I can actually fix that. BQE's jam-packed right now. So.
Oh, really? Yeah. Give us a little traffic there, Richie, there. In that sultry voice.
Yeah, I just wanted to call out Dave.
Thank you.
Rafael Nadal was just rolling on through, and then all of a sudden, he comes back to lose the game. So I think you're the ultimate jinx now. You're talking about your wife, but I'm really afraid now for the Nets and the Knicks. Talking about the Knicks making the playoffs, the Nets in the finals. After what you did with Nadal yesterday, I'm not so confident either team doing whatever you said.
Well, hang on a second. What did I do to Nadal? I don't remember jinxing Nadal yesterday.
Yes. Yesterday morning, I'm listening as I'm driving into work, as I do every weekday.
Right.
And you had mentioned that Rafael Nadal was cruising right along. You were giving an update on the Australian Open, and you were mentioning how Rafael Nadal is just rolling on along. And then here it comes. He was up the first two sets, and here it comes. One of the biggest upsets. And
hang on a second. Nadal, I didn't say it's over. Nadal won the first two sets, and he won them handily by at least a break. I said Nadal is cruising along. How is that jinxing it by just giving you the update of what's happening in the match?
Because
the moment you mentioned Rafael Nadal is rolling right along, you kind of insinuated as if this is going to be an easy victory for him.
So now you're taking a deep dive into the way I insinuate.
Yes.
Come on, Richie, and thanks for the call. And listen, there's a lot of things to beat me up for, but you're going to say that I jinxed. No, RJ jinxed. RJ said a match was over. He said Kyrgios has it. It's done. That's a jinx. I said Nadal. All I did was give an update. Nadal is cruising along. He's up by two sets. And now you're going to beat me up because he lost the match?
This is why we can't have nice things.
Completely different. That was self-serving for RJ. Deep down inside, RJ was hoping that Kyrgios would have a meltdown. Because that's more fun than watching Kyrgios actually win a match. You, on the other hand, that's exactly the... We talk about, like, you're in the car, you're driving, and your wife looks at you and goes, wow, we're doing pretty good here, no traffic. We're kind of cruising along. The fact that you said Nadal was cruising, instead of just saying he's up two sets, insinuated that he was just going to roll through the rest of this match. I agree with Richie 100%. Even with the Knicks, last night's loss is on you.
So it's all on me now.
You can't call your wife a jinx for a full year and then
she
all of a sudden
jinx.
Turn around.
No, and here's the difference, and I'm going to tell you. She said it's over. She walked in, Red Sox game 7 of the ALCS, and said, oh, they're up 4-1 and Pedro's on the mound? This is over. How you could do that with the Red Sox? That's a jinx. If I said that I guarantee you, I didn't say that I guarantee you the Knicks are going to the postseason. I said this team should go to the playoffs, and I stand by that. The East is horrendous. The Knicks should be a team that goes to the playoffs.
Now you're parsing words. You're a jinx. Admit it. That's fine. Embrace it. You did this to the Knicks last night. That second half is on you. You're going to wear that second half.
That second half is not on me. I'm not a jinx. I didn't do anything wrong. I stand by it. They lost last night. Quickly and Rose combined for 2 for 22. They were horrendous. They played maybe their worst half of the season, but I am not a jinx, and I stand by what I said. So you look at the Knicks, you look at the standings, you look at the teams in the Eastern Conference, and you don't think this team should go to the postseason with 10 teams that get in?
I'm enjoying the ride. I'm not going to start talking about postseason yet. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I don't care what the East looks like. There are teams that are behind the Knicks in the standings right now that you would expect to turn it around and end up in the playoffs. So no, I'm not going to sit here and start talking about playoffs like you. I was actually told by a New York Knicks insider that was... The reason they fell apart in the second half was because someone in the locker room during halftime mentioned that Dave Rothenberg said, we don't make the playoffs.
Did you happen to know that Rothenberg said that you guys are a playoff team? Really? Well, we'll show him. Watch this. I mean, come on. Give me a break. Really?
This is how people feel. I'm telling you.
I mean, they're sixth in the East right now. Now, you want to say Toronto's better and they're behind the Knicks? I agree with that. But the Knicks aren't as good as Charlotte or Chicago or Orlando? Come on.
I don't disagree with you, but I'm not going to touch the money. I'm going to turn the Knicks on, and I'm going to enjoy what I see outside of what we saw in the second half. And then when we get to a certain point where it looks like, okay, there's a real, like, they're feeling good about where they are in the standings, and it looks like we're going to make the play, then we can start talking about playoffs.
Well, how about if I've had that moment? How about if I've seen enough? Listen, it's not like I'm 9 games in and they're 5-4, and I'm saying, you know what, this should be a playoff team. We're 30 games in of a 72-game season. We're a couple of games away from being halfway. Why can't I look at it and say, with what I've seen, with Quickley and Rose off the bench, with Julius Randle playing at an all-star level, with R.J. Barrett continuing to improve, and I don't know why he didn't play more last night when the game was actually still on the line, but why can't I look at that and from the macro level say, I think this team should be a playoff team? I don't think that's a wild statement to make.
It's a wild statement.
No.
Yeah, it's a dangerous statement. It is. I mean, I'm sitting here looking at the standings right now. I mean, Miami's a better team. Atlanta's, I mean, they're right there with you. I mean, so there are teams that are going to, I mean, figure it out and put themselves in position. I mean, I don't think it's a lock by any means that the New York Knicks end up in the postseason.
But I didn't say it's a lock. I said my expectation is that they get there. I think they should be able to get there. You say, listen, Toronto I think is better, and I think they'll pass them. But the Knicks don't have the same talent and can't compete with a Charlotte or a Chicago, or an Atlanta, or an Orlando. And that's not even including the three worst teams in the conference, which are Washington, Cleveland, and Detroit. And 10 teams get in? If the Knicks are not one of 10, I stand by what I said. I will be disappointed.
Well, you're still counting the 10. Like, I'm not even looking at the 10. Like, I get what you're saying with the whole the play-in tournament and everything else. But, I mean, if they got all of a sudden they're you know 9th or 10th, and they play one game and they're out, I don't consider that making the playoffs.
If the Knicks got that done, if the Knicks were the 9 seed and played one game and lost it, you would feel that for what they had, they accomplished a lot this season. I really believe that. What was the over-under in Vegas? 26?
Yeah, I don't care what the over-under is. I wouldn't consider that making the playoffs. Just like I don't consider the play-in game in Major League Baseball, if you lose it, the playoffs. It's not a series. It's a one-game play-in to get into the postseason. So maybe
Vinny Jones
disagree
tweets
on that.
In. Vinny Jones defends me here. amazing how they always get on you for not living in the moment and being a Debbie Downer. Now you're all in and you have faith and you're being optimistic and you're being called a jinx. Hashtag they are haters. Vinny Jones very upset with you guys.
I'm speaking for the people. Like, listen, Vinny could be your guy. I mean, right now, I mean, for someone that was hesitant, like, we had to drag you onto the boat. Like, Omar pleaded with you to get on the boat, and finally we got you on the Knicks boat, and now, you're at the front of the boat saying, we're going to, playoffs, here we come. It's too much.
I'm like Jack and Titanic. I won a poker game to get on the boat, and once I'm on, I'm going to take full advantage. I see Rose, she's pretty, she's got wealth and money. You know what? Let's go, baby. That's right. Now, little did I realize that it would end in an iceberg and a frigid cold death. But I'm on that boat, and I'm gonna live it up. That's a luxury cruise liner, Rick.
I'm on the ship, Omar. I'm on the ship.
It didn't end well. It did not end well for him, though.
It did not end well. Let's go to Joey in Staten Island. Joey, you're next up on 98.7.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Joey.
Dave, you got to release the tape, man. You got to release the tape. You've been doing this for the past couple of years. You're jinxing us, man. Please don't talk about the Mets. Please.
Don't talk about the Mets?
No, because you're going to jinx them again. Stop. What? Release the tape. Rick, you've got to release the tape.
He has to, Joey. He has to. This guy doesn't get it.
Releasing the tape.
He doesn't get it, Joey.
He don't get it, buddy. I'm telling you, he's got to release the tape, and he's got to stop. He's killing us.
This is what I'm talking about, Dave.
I blame this all on Dave.
I'm speaking for the people,
Dave.
Thank
you, Joey.
I'm the guy without the blue check mark. I have the pulse of the people. I'm telling you what they're saying, what the streets are saying. You're a huge jinx. Ever since this whole Carson Wentz ordeal.
All of a sudden,
you got the power now. You're a mush.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
DCR with you, 98.7 ESPN. Doesn't that make you feel good? Meet the Mets.
Can't wait for baseball.
Right? April 1, Mets get rolling along. John Gonzalez, by the way, tweets, and Dave is an absolute jinx. I don't care what he says. Because of him, the Eagles won the Super Bowl. He's equal to Mush from the Bronx Tale. Put him in the bathroom.
Well, that's where you're going, man. We're going to have to do something with you. Release the tape. I don't know. Now you got... I'm going to have to change the name of the show. It's going to be, Delicious, Canty, and Mush.
And Mush.
Delicious, Canty, and Mush. That's kind of a nice ring to it.
That's not terrible.
I'm going to have to get rid of all the merch I'm getting going here with the DCR, but hey, that's fine. We can fix it.
I still don't think I did anything wrong because I have expectations. There's nothing wrong with expectations.
Yeah, but don't verbalize the expectations.
Why?
I'm a talk show host.
Of course, verbalize.
No, it's like saying to your wife, she gets pregnant. You want to wait until the baby is born to find out if it's a boy or a girl. And sometime during the pregnancy, you go, I'd be really disappointed if this isn't a boy. You can't run that back. Now, all of a sudden, you got a girl and your wife knows that you're disappointed that it's not a boy.
I don't exactly see this as apples to apples.
It's apples to apples, baby.
No, I had to think that analogy. And you're usually pretty good with the analogy. That analogy is really horrendous.
What do you mean? I don't understand why, in the midst of the Knicks finally being relevant again, playing great basketball, we could have an all-star, that you can't just sit back and enjoy it day to day as opposed to, you know what? I would be really disappointed if this team wasn't a playoff team. Haven't you learned your lesson yet?
I stand by it. I would be disappointed. Now, by the way, quickly, and we'll get to the Mets in just a moment. Have you heard this? This is the hot take now, that Julius Randle should get MVP consideration. Can we please stop with the hot takes? Julius Randle is not an MVP of the NBA.
I would put that right below your hot take of the Knicks have to make the playoffs.
I didn't say the Knicks have to make the playoffs. You're changing what I said. But focus on what I just said about what people are saying now. Julius Randle as MVP is such a ridiculous take.
It's a ridiculous take. I mean, if you were to say that, your expectations of where the Knicks finish would be higher than what you think. I mean, you're looking at the Knicks and saying playoffs, and by playoffs you mean, 10. As long as they're in that playoff,
yes,
that play-in tournament, then you'd be happy. If you're going to sit here and say that Julius Randle should be considered for the MVP, you're talking about the Knicks finishing in the top
six.
At least the top six.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Speaking of expectations, and I don't know what I'm allowed or not allowed to say, but I will tell you this. I'm really excited for the Mets. I still think they have another move or two in them. And I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday, and this just shows you what the difference is with the Mets heading into this year. And he's telling me, he's going on and on. Outside of the Lindor trade, he says, I'm really disappointed what the Mets have done this offseason. So that's, I mean, they added an elite shortstop and a really good starting pitcher. So I understand that you expected Springer or you wanted Bauer or whatever the case may be, but, you know, you talk about how quickly expectations change. Now you look at the Mets offseason and you're not wowed by what they've done. They've had a terrific offseason.
Yeah, but that's the problem, though. I mean, the word you bring up is expectations. And don't sit here and pretend like you weren't one of the Mets fans that actually said, my expectation is we get at least two of the three big free agents.
It was, but I'm not gonna lose sight of the fact that they've still had a good offseason. They kept Stroman. They added Carrasco, right? You add Lindor. I like Trevor May. I think McCann is an upgraded catcher. So I'm not going to sit here and tell you they haven't had a good offseason. Did I expect Springer and or Bauer? Yeah. Or Realmuto. I thought they had a good chance to get two, at least one of those three. Yeah, I am disappointed. But I don't lose sight of the fact this is still a good offseason.
No, it's a good offseason. It had the chance to be a great offseason. I mean, that's what the Mets were convinced, that once Steve Cohen bought the team, that now all of a sudden, especially with where baseball is financially, with teams looking to dump money and everything else, that this was a perfect opportunity for us to get exactly who we wanted. And what hurts him and what hurts their offseason is that they were in on all the guys that the Mets fans wanted. They wouldn't go that extra step to make sure they got who they wanted. That's what aggravates the Mets fans, because it seems like when the Yankees have someone they want, the Yankees get who they want. And that hasn't been, that was never the case with the Wilpons, because we weren't even in these conversations.
And you understood, even though you hated it, you understood why it wasn't. They just didn't have the financial wherewithal to be able to go out and make those moves.
Yeah, but and on top of that, what aggravates me is, first and foremost, new regime, but we're still having, you know, same Mets problems, right? The Wilpons own the team. They hire Beltran. The whole cheating scandal comes out. He doesn't even make it to the regular season. They fire him. Steve Cohen takes over. Same things happens with the GM. Then you read a story yesterday where, I mean, another Jared Porter kind of story, that Mets organization, they had to let him go, which they should have done in the first place when, you know, three women report about him being, you know, sexually aggressive. Like, I mean, baseball's clearly got a problem that needs to be fixed.
Or at least the Mets do.
Well, the Mets do, but I think baseball in general has a problem. And then on maybe pro sports in general. But then on top of that is, I really feel like, and this may be just me, is you allowed yourself to get played by Trevor Bauer. And I think that affected some of the other decisions you made earlier on with the free agents.
So what would you have suggested? Go to Bauer early on in free agency and said, this is our big-time offer, take it or leave it, and then you could adjust accordingly moving forward?
Yeah, here's the deal. I mean, that's what they did. I mean, at the end of it, that's what they did.
Right.
Like, here's our best offer.
They didn't want this to play out any longer, correct.
So I don't know. Like, I could explain away the McCann signing instead of Realmuto, which they made an offer to Realmuto, because now all of a sudden we want, it's way less money. We have the flexibility with Springer and Bauer. And then all of a sudden to see, I mean, is $150 million a lot for George Springer? Yeah, it probably is. But I mean, you're looking for to get the most production out of George Springer over the next, you know, 3-4 years. Those last two, you're hoping there's a DH and he's not going to be as good a center fielder, but that was a huge hole that the Mets needed to fill, and you had the opportunity to get the best guy available.
But why can't I have multiple feelings? Why can't I be disappointed that they didn't get Realmuto or Bauer or Springer, yet still excited that they got Lindor and what they look like heading into 2021? Why can't I feel both ways?
No, you can feel both ways. I mean, you can absolutely feel both ways. I feel both ways. I think they had a really good offseason. Are they going to be a better team? They absolutely are. But to have, you know, Tim Kirchen on with us yesterday and said even, you know, the acquisitions of Lindor and Cookie Carrasco, in his mind, don't put you at the level still. And it wasn't just one team. It wasn't just Atlanta, which we feel like is the team that you're chasing. It was
correct.
Atlanta and Washington. That bothered me a little bit.
I think it should, and I think that's fair. Let's get the Mets fan involved here. 800-919-3776, your expectations for the 2021 Mets. But this, and we've said this. Listen, the National League West is unbelievable at the top, and we'll get into the Tatis, you know, story in just a little bit. Dodgers, Padres, unbelievable, but Arizona's not great, and Colorado is kind of lousy. So you look at this division, this is the best division in baseball. I don't think Philly can win it, but you have three teams that have a real chance to win it. You could have three teams that really compete to get to 90 wins or more. This is the best division in baseball. Have you done enough to be the best team in this division? I'd probably say no. Pecota says, without a doubt, you have.
Well, you have to be at least the second best team in this division.
Well, you have you would to imagine get to the postseason, yes.
Because then it's going to be, you know, the Dodgers or the Padres win the West.
And one is a wild card, you
exactly
would assume,
right.
Yes.
So now you're competing with, you know, the Braves, the Nationals, and the Phillies for the division in that second wild card spot. Unless, of course, you know, Major League Baseball figures it out and what's best for baseball instead of going back and forth trying to negotiate the CBA that's not even up yet and has expanded playoffs in the Universal DH. But that's there are still some things that the Mets could do that would now all of a sudden, you know, good offseason to really good offseason. They still need a bullpen arm, and they still, I think,
I don't like what they've done with the pen. I'll be honest with you. I mean, you lose Lugo, which you didn't expect, obviously. You added May, and that's really all you've done. I mean, you couldn't have gone more for Justin Wilson. You couldn't have. I mean, Mark Melanson just went for $3 million yesterday to the Padres. Now, I guess you're in on Trevor Rosenthal, but if this is the bullpen that they go to battle with to start the season, Rick, I don't love what they've done here at all.
No, real questions. I mean, that puts a lot of pressure on Edwin Diaz to be, you know, more what you saw in Seattle and less of what you've seen with the New York Mets. I mean, there are a couple of things that could trip this team up. I mean, once you get past Marcus Stroman, there's some question marks with your starting rotation, right? You like, I mean, DeGrom's the best in the business, Carrasco, yeah. Stroman, and then, I mean, there's a bit of a drop-off.
But don't you think, because I'm of the mindset that either Oda Rizzi or Taijuan Walker is going to be here soon.
Okay, I'm not under that. Until they sign one of those guys,
okay.
I'm hoping it's Walker because I like Walker a lot. Then obviously my opinion will change. Diaz is your closer. That's still a question for me. I don't know why you wouldn't go a couple extra million to get Brad Hand. Just to, like, listen, I know you want to close, Brad. Probably a chance that you might end up being the closer, but here's an extra, you know, $3 million.
That's right.
To suck it up.
Or Colome, or I mean, there were a lot of good bullpen guys available, and you didn't get any of them outside of Trevor May. And you paid a lot for him.
Well, and it sounds like the whole time you've been trying to move Betances and Familia this entire time. So, I mean, maybe there is another move that they're going to make. And then on top of that is with this no universal DH, I mean, you still haven't really, you haven't solved the whole Dominic Smith problem because you want his bat in the lineup, but where's he playing? I don't want him in left field. And I can't take Alonso out of first, right?
No, he's locked in. Alonso's your everyday first baseman. Not having a DH, you could argue, hurts the Mets more than any team in all of baseball.
Washington, too.
Yeah.
Some of Washington's signings could hurt them, too.
But it certainly hurts the Mets tremendously.
100%.
Because I mean, you could have two DHs and it would work out for the Mets. About 10 guys.
Yeah, they're flush.
Right?
I mean, flush with that. But you know what, Dave? Ultimately, this offseason, I think why Mets fans, not all Mets fans, but some Mets fans, because they had their hopes so high for who we would get. Yet, you didn't really see the money spent yet. Because Lindor was a trade. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's a fair assessment. But to sit here and tell me that this was a failed or an underwhelming offseason, I think is unfair when you added one of the best players in the sport. Let's go to the calls. Let's go to Guy in Brooklyn. Guy, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, morning, guys. How's everything?
Good.
Okay. As a Mets fan, I think the Mets dodged the bullet with Bauer because it seemed like after everything was done, he's a Cali guy, and I think he used the Mets as leverage to get his deal out in Cali. And I feel like even if the Mets had pulled it off, he would have been happy with the money, but probably wouldn't have been like happy to be in New York, like as a baseball player, because he seemed like he loved to be in Cali, and they dodged a bullet with that. What do you guys think?
Yeah, but Guy, you're talking about a guy who won a Cy Young in Cincinnati. So I mean, you know, New York is. It is not, I mean, it is much better than Cincinnati. I mean, money, and it's a short-term deal. That's, I mean, the whole dodge the bullet thing. It's only, I mean, a couple-year deal.
It would have been 2 years is what it would have absolutely
2 years, and he's going to try to be pitching for a next big contract. So, I mean, I don't care how much he would rather be in L.A. If he's a New York Met, he's going to pitch his ass off is what's going to happen.
Yeah, and I don't think, I don't know what you would have gotten. Do I think there's a chance that he dodged a bullet? I think so, but that's revisionist history, right? You can't have the day that he signed before that in the morning say, I want this guy, and then he signs with the Dodgers, and all of a sudden, oh, you know what? We dodged a bullet with this one. This is great news for us.
That's what we do.
That's what everybody does. I think that's human nature, though.
Well, I guess so, but I mean, when you've been beaten down as much as, you know, we've been beaten down with some of these teams, Knicks, Mets, I mean, that's kind of how you... You have to compartmentalize these things. It's like, oh, Kevin Durant, now, you know what? He doesn't want us.
That's right.
We don't want him either.
But that's ridiculous. That's the sports fan. That's what we do. That's like in your DNA. You want something. It doesn't want you. You can't have it. You know what? I never even wanted that in the first place. Go away.
But that was supposed to have changed, right? Like, I mean, you saw how, like, when the Mets signed Trevor May, and to hear how Trevor May, you know, he was speaking about why he became a Met and how excited he was with the new ownership. You're like, okay, I mean, this is what people in baseball are talking about. And now all of a sudden, you know, if this is going to be our reputation now, how could we not? I mean, how could we not get George Springer? He's got to be dying to be a New York Met. He's a Connecticut kid.
Yeah. I'm surprised that he went to Toronto. I am.
I don't. A couple extra million bucks. I know it's, you know, it's a 6-year commitment, but I mean, you're trying to win a World Series. Is he Gold Glove caliber defensively in center field? No, he's not Gold Glove caliber, but he's a whole hell of a lot better than what you have. And on top of that, I mean, he's got a ton of pop in his bat. And, oh, by the way, have you seen what he does in the postseason? I mean, he's...
Yeah, no, he's an elite player. I would have liked to add him. And the deal is not over the top. Let's hear from Michael Kay. Gave his take yesterday on, appropriately named, the Michael Kay Show. You can hear it 3 to 7 every weekday on 98.7 ESPN. Here's his outlook for the 2021 Mets.
Unlike a lot of Met fans, I love what they've done this year. Now, did they get any of the top four free agents? No, they didn't. But did they improve? Yes, they did. James McCann is a better catcher than the Mets have had in a long time. So let's look at their pitching. You've got the best pitcher in baseball, or one of the best pitchers in baseball, in DeGrom. Then you've got Carrasco, and you've got Stroman. And then it starts to get a little bit... Their lineup is good. Their bullpen scares me, Don. Seth Lugo, when's he getting back? Also, do you really feel good about Edwin Diaz? What are you getting out of Familia, who had a pretty good year last year? What are you getting out of Betances? I like their lineup a lot. Their defense scares me. The Mets are the one team in baseball, I think, that really needs to have the universal DH. Because all of a sudden, Dominic Smith, he'll play first. Alonso will be the DH. You can use Pilar out there, Almora. You've got other people that you can put in the outfield that will make them better. And then move Brandon Nimmo over to left field where he's better. Conforto is playing for a contract. That's good as well. But I got to be honest, I don't see the Mets being better, even by close margin, than the Dodgers or the Padres, do you?
No. Well, they're not. They're not better than the Dodgers. I don't even think that's all that close. I don't know how you could say they're better than the Padres. That they could be the second best team in all of baseball right now. They could be the best team in all of baseball right now, to be honest with you. I think the bigger pressing question is, are they better than the Braves? Are they better than the Nationals? And right now, I can't say yes on either of those things.
I love Michael. You know how much I love Michael.
We know.
Well, how can you say you love what they've done this offseason and then
have all these things that you don't love?
And then rattle off, I mean, all these things that you don't love.
What I don't understand is he says, I love what they've done this offseason, and his first thing is Jacob DeGrom, you have the best pitcher in baseball. But that's not a this offseason thing. He's been there for years now.
No, I don't. Once you get past your third starter, rotation's iffy. I don't love your bullpen. Your defense stinks.
Right.
I mean, what are we doing here? And he's not wrong. I mean, if there's no universal DH, I mean, and you don't get Chris Bryant, J.D. Davis is not a great defensive third baseman.
No. Great? J.D. Davis is not a good defensive third baseman.
Okay. So, yeah. I mean, Jeff McNeil's not a great defensive second baseman. That's
same applies him there, yes.
Alonso's not a great defensive first baseman.
Same applies there, yes.
I mean, I don't know who you're going to end up having in left field. I mean,
you got to figure it's going to be Nimmo in left and one of these two guys in center, right? Pilar or Almora?
Because you're going to need Dom Smith's going to have to play, man. He was too good offensively last year to have Dom Smith on the bench too much.
So maybe it's Dom Smith, I don't know, 2 days a week at first base and 2 days a week in left field. I don't know.
I don't think you can afford. I think that Pete Alonso is going to bounce back in a big way. You can't. I mean, he's got to play as much as possible.
All right, so you get 1 day a week at first base, or you know, you come in the fifth inning. I don't know. You have to find a way. Dom Smith's a good player. You have to find a way to get him into your lineup. But I don't know that you can afford to put him out there in the field.
I understand that. I mean, in there lies the problem. I mean, you want him in the lineup, but now all of a sudden that means I'm going to have Nimmo in center, which he's not good at all in center field. And I mean, Conforto's obviously going to be in right field every day, but. I mean, to say you love what they've done, I think it's a little fugazi because you love what they've done if all of a sudden now they put themselves in the conversation of, okay, it's the Dodgers, obviously, San Diego's right there, and then it's a toss-up between, you know, the Braves, the Mets, and the Nationals.
If I made you put all your money on one team in the National League East right now, forget about the West. I mean, those two teams are, in my opinion, at a different level. But if I said you got to put money on one of the teams in the NL East right now, where would you put it on?
I don't know how you don't put it on the Braves.
I agree with you.
I don't know how you don't. And Washington's going to be better, too. I mean, Juan Soto is one of the best players in baseball already. And I don't even think that's a question. And what makes the hand thing more aggravating is where he ended up. For Hand to get a job now in your own division.
And that was their Achilles heel. Their bullpen has been horrendous in Washington.
It's been awful. Yeah. But, I mean, if for Sandy to say that, you know, had Steve Cohen already taken over and, you know, Sandy was in charge of making decisions, they would have, when Hand was put on waivers, they would have picked him up and then not to sign him.
You could have. That to me, now Michael has all these issues defensively, and I think that's fair. They're good offensively, starting rotation. You know what? For the most part, everybody has question marks with their fourth starter and fifth starter. If you really like your first three, and at some point Syndergaard comes back, and I still think they're going to sign somebody else before this is said and done, either Odorizzi or Taijuan Walker. But, you know, the bullpen is what really scares me. Because even the creme de la creme, right? Even Edwin Diaz, I don't trust him. So, Betances has not been great. Familia, you don't love. You assume you're going to like Trevor May, but that to me is real concerning for the Mets. And you could have fixed it. You could have signed two or three of these guys this offseason for not a ton of money, and I think completely fixed the bullpen.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about all of a sudden, I mean, what you love about the Yankees bullpen is even if you don't trust Chapman because you feel like he's, you know, he's towards the end of this, that you still have Zach Britton. So, I mean, if I have Diaz and all of a sudden I pay a couple extra million for Brad Hand, even if Diaz struggles, all of a sudden you thought it was going to be Lugo, but now Lugo's, you know, not going to throw a baseball for 6 weeks. You can at least be comfortable that Brad Hand can close games.
That's right. Well, we'll see if they make a play for Trevor Rosenthal, because that seems like it should be something that they go after right now. All right, quick break. 800-919-3776. We have to get to Tatis. It's a lot of money. And you mentioned Juan Soto. I wonder if he's next as far as that's concerned.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.